Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Nahum, and we're in chapter 3. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. And here's the thing, you and I live in a world full of lies. They'll tell you that we're affecting the global atmosphere right now. I'll tell you what's affecting the global atmosphere right now. God is. Everything's in His hands. He's got the lightnings. He's got the whirlwind. He's got the storm. He's got the boundaries set for the ocean that can't go any further till He says, okay, let's do a little rumbling underneath the ocean and create a tsunami and show them just how little they are. Beloved, you and I have a great, great God who made a great big world. And He wanted a full world. But it stumbled out of the gate. And so what's going to happen is He's going to fix it all by purging it through the rapture and the great tribulation. And then He's going to come and rule and reign. Lion's going to lay down with the lamb. And people are going to procreate during that time. Those of us who were translated will come back as glorified saints and we will rule and reign with Him. You say, how can that be? Right? You know what I got? I got a tablet here. I can talk to somebody on the other side of the earth. You tell me how that be. And that's what man did. God cast the earth into existence. The stars, the sun, the moon, they all run in the same trajectory and they all utter their speech. And there's no language in this world wherein their voice is not heard. They're saying there is a creator and there is a God. Oh, aren't you so glad that's true? It would be dismal and depressing to think this was all there was. And I want you to know, I've had a blessed life. Even if Jesus wasn't real, I've been blessed. But He is real. He shows up every time I turn around. And I see the little tokens of His mercy and His blessing. And you know, when you see this, He says, woe to the city of blood. You're talking about God's commentary on Nineveh, which now is bespeaking a whole world that is overwhelmed with a Babylonian spirit. Let's all come together. Let's all be one. Let's all unite. Let's do exactly what God said not to do. Let's legitimize perversion. Let's legitimize killing of children. Let's legitimize infanticide. Let's legitimize euthanasia. Let's take away the hope of young people and wonder why suicide rates are up. Let's take away the hope of children and wonder why they go into a school and shoot people like the boy did this past week in California. Shot 5 of his fellow students and then turned a gun on himself and shot himself. That happened this past week. We are living in a world that has no moral compass. And it's not everywhere. It's a blanket statement, I get that. But you know, God always only had a remnant. So I'm pretty much saying, generally speaking, the world's losing its mind. And it's getting worse. We just happen to live in a better place than many people do. And it's got a little resistance to the move. But guess what? You factor in the rapture, what happens? That resistance is gone. Suddenly it's pitch black down here. The Holy Spirit's still here, but the church isn't here saying, no, no, no. And many of the places where the best of people serve will be evacuated. Back when Obergefell was passed, you recall, some of the judges in Ohio, I know for sure, were asking the bar, do we have to solemnize these weddings of male to male, even though we're believers and we don't believe in that? And they said, yes, you do. And if you don't do it, you have to recuse yourself completely from the bench. The best judges were told they would have to see themselves through the door. I can't tell you how all that worked its way out, whether it made its way up to the Supreme Court and they've done anything about it. But that was their initial reaction to their question. Think about that. Your best judges were told they had to see themselves through the door. So now what does the law look like? Well, every week we hear things in the legal system that is outrageous. So it's all lie. It's all lie. And the concept of robbery is rapine. It has the idea of parting of ways, breaking in upon, plunder. It has the idea of a crossroads. And that word is what he says the whole world is like. There's narcissism. There's all me-ism, if you will, for another word for it. I'm reminded of the book of Revelation where it says this. In Revelation 22, verses 14 and 15, it says, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For outside that city are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers, and murderers and idolaters. And here it is, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. This world makes lies like they're running the currency up in our United States mint. They're constantly making more money even though we don't have anything to back it up, right? This is a problem. And now we're living in a world full of lies. And I think every one of us now have at one time or another been talking somewhere and thought we need to keep our voices down because somebody in this room might not like what we're saying about this or that. It's weird because we in this room, for the most part, have been around long enough to remember when that would not have even been imaginable. Freedom of speech was a sacrosanct. Now, not so much. Woe to the bloody city is all lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. Meaning, there's no end to the prey. You prey on your family. You prey on your friends. That's the world. And that's their way. There is a insidiousness to it all. So, when we see this bloody city, remember he's talking about Nineveh, but it bespeaks the bigger picture of the spirit of the whole age. The Bible says the noise of a whip in verse 2, the noise of rattling of the wheels, and of the prancing of horses and jumping chariots. Now, I want you to circle the word chariots, because for them, that was a very daunting thing. But for you and for me, we don't think about chariots so much. But when I think of chariots, I think of Elijah going up in a chariot. I think of Elisha telling his servant, who was worried to death they were going to be wiped out by an oncoming army, saying, Lord, open his eyes. And there were chariots all on the hillside. So you can take what is true in real time, which Nineveh was under the curse of God, and there was going to come a time when the Babylonians came up from the south, and they were going to wipe them out. Chariots in the streets. But you understand that when the tribulation comes, you have those four horses, right? You also have all these movements. You have the trumpets. What are trumpets for? Trumpets are for movements in armies. A trumpet would be blown, something would happen. A trumpet would be blown, another thing would happen. There's a lot of rattling of things like that, and that's the heavenly host in one sense. So I make the connection because it's important for us to do so. You and I need to realize this is a big deal. What you're experiencing right now, what you're seeing on your TV, what you're seeing where you take, I think it's Captain America, they made a movie where the woman was Captain America. They've recently made a TV show, I don't know if it's going to fly or not, but it's Batwoman. And it's on regular TV, CW Network. I saw a trailer for it and I was aghast. It was a lesbian girl who begins to be the Batman because Batman's taken a hiatus on the city of Gotham. And in the trailer, there were two women kissing. I'm telling you guys, we're watching it. It's just coming unglued. It's coming unglued. And so for you and for me, we need to realize this is a big deal. They don't care who they hurt. They don't care if they hurt the children. They don't care if the ball game's on Sunday. Just saying. Even if it comes in conflict with church, we need to get out of church because we need to get to the ball field. Guys, listen. We're teaching our children what we value and what we care for. I'm not a legalist on these things, but when they're starting to encroach upon all things holy. Do you know Disney, years ago, back when Wild Kingdom was on late at night and Lawrence Welk was on in the afternoon and Polka Variety? Do you know every evening when they would take their families to church, Walt Disney would have Wonderful World of Disney as the best TV on TV. And all the kids said, I want to go to church. What's going on? You think they knew what they were doing? You know they knew what they were doing. And what we're seeing is a bloody city. We don't care who we hurt. We don't care how much we tear them up. We don't care about your kids. We don't care about you. We don't care about yours. We don't care about mom and dad. There are all these billboards up in Cleveland about all these things that you can do with your parents. And all I'm saying is for you and me, we're being pressed into the mold of a world that has gone crazy, and we have to be careful about it. Woe unto the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. There's all this noise of the whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels and the prancing of horses, galloping of horses, literally, and of jumping chariots. The horseman lifteth up both the bright sword and the glittering spear. We talked about the word glittering. It's usually related to the concept of a flash from God and lightning. You know, it has to do with his glittering sword. So I think there's an overlay, the real world with the metaphysical world. If an Assyrian is God's battle axe and that Assyrian's raising his sword to swing, God's in that. Because that is what God's intentions are. He's taking down Assyria with Babylon. And he gives Babylon the silver and the gold we saw in the last chapter. He tells him that they can take that. That's their just payment for what they've done. They get all the spoils of Assyria, and that was one wealthy city. And it's probably why Babylon, brutal as they were, they came to be known more for their opulence. They were the golden head in Nebuchadnezzar's image. Golden head was Babylon, and you had the silver, and then you had the bronze, and then you had the iron and clay in this image that he saw. And he says, you're the golden head, Nebuchadnezzar. So the Bible says in verse 4, it says, because of the multitude of thy whoredoms. This is the why. Circle that or underline it. It's because of this. This is why these chariots are coming. This is why. And this is where I make the connection. It's not just Nineveh. It's the spirit of Babylon. People say, well, is it real Babylon? Are they going to rebuild Babylon? It's unlikely. It'd take a long time to build a city, people it, and get it all up and running, and also make it the epicenter of the whole earth. I think we're closer than that, and I think it bespeaks the fact. Some people have thought it was New York City, that Babylon was in the Book of Revelation. It's been my conviction for quite a long time. I think it's the whole world. I think we've finally gotten where Nimrod wanted to get. Nimrod wanted to make us all one people. And I think when that happens, which it's just a hop, skip, and a jump. Wait, look. Take it back. It's not a hop, skip, and a jump. It's just one election. It's one election away. Where would we be today had those who had wanted to make us, you know, level with everybody else in the world and not exceptional, where would we be today? And so I suggest to you, when he says it's because in verse 4 of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, they had whoredoms because of their religion. You see that well-favored harlot? She's the mistress of witchcraft. The word mistress means like Lord. She's the one who controls it. She controls witchcraft. Isn't that interesting? Lords and ladies. She's the mistress of the house. She's the one in charge of witchcrafts. She's the one that told them that it was okay to take babies and offer them to the fire unto Molech. She's the one that spawns that kind of thing. And she's the one who whispers in the world's ears today and says you need to okay abortion because it's just the right thing to do. It's a human right. She's the one who we resist when we send a president to the United Nations who twice now has said, that will not be acceptable. Now, our president has gone twice to the United Nations and shut down the whole idea of making it universally a human right to have an abortion. One man. One. And I know of no other that would have stood in the august halls of those arenas and said the things that he said. I'll tell you what, there ain't many like that. Amen. He liked that. He is a reprieve from where we would have been today. And when he goes, I don't know what we're going to get. The Bible says, because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts that selleth nations through her whoredoms. You know, Paul was the one who said he was sold under sin in Romans 7. He says, I was sold under sin. And what that means that we were solicited to it. Eventually we gave into it, and it was very natural, okay, to do this, because this is the world we're in. It's all sinful, you know, the world, the flesh, the devil, it's all kind of synchronized and makes the devil's work easy. But when we succumb and don't see the Savior, and this is what's tragic about children not being nurtured in the admonition of the Lord, is that they go naturally where the world sends them, and then they wonder why everything's a mess and not working so well, and, you know, everything's sick and pining. Well, the reality is that what we have is we have a world that presses us into a mold, and then eventually we are on the auction block of slavery, like Hosea's wife Gomer, who went a-whoring into her past life's behaviors and eventually was sold, and thankfully Hosea was told, go buy her. Tell her, now you'll be a wife to me. Listen, the beauty of the Scriptures is without any kind of competition at all. You need to know your Bibles over and over and over. I can say that.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.